Ready to change your life for the better? First, you need goals and then a plan on how you'll reach them. I'm your host, Marianne Jacoby. Welcome to our monthly podcast. Our guest is Gretchen Rubin, the author of several books, including two bestsellers on how to be happier in life. Her book, The Happiness Project, has sold more than 1.5 million copies in North America alone. She lives in New York City, and we're delighted to be talking with her. Gretchen, thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm very happy to be talking to you.
So tell us a bit about how The Happiness Project came to be.
Well, it was a very inconspicuous moment in my life. I was stuck on a city bus, and I had one of those rare opportunities for reflection that you usually don't get when you're racing around dealing with the chaos of everyday life. And I thought to myself, what do I want from life anyway? And I thought, I want to be happy. I realized I didn't spend any time thinking about whether I was happy or how I could be happier. I decided I've got to do a happiness project. And that's the phrase that I used in my mind. I went out to the library the next day and got a huge stack of books to try to figure out if you wanted to make yourself happier, you know, could you do it? And if so, how?
I love the way you have the book organized with the 12 chapters for the 12 months of the year. Your January resolution was boost energy. Let's focus on that. How did you choose to start the year with energy?
Well, it seems to me that if you have energy, everything else comes more easily. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ask myself to do things that are maybe more transcendent or tougher down the line. But if I have more energy, all those kinds of resolutions are going to be easier for me. And in fact, a sense of energy is very tied to our sense of well-being, our sense of happiness. If you feel very low energy, it's hard to muster up a sense of fun and enthusiasm and engagement. And what I found is these things are so basic, and yet so many people overlook them. The fact that our physical experience always colors our emotional experience. So something like getting enough sleep just is key. Getting a little bit of exercise. People think that they're too tired to exercise, but actually for most people, exercise, unless you're really, really pushing yourself very hard, exercise increases energy. It doesn't take away energy. So feeling tired is a reason to exercise. Here's a very funny tip. If you need a quick fix, you know, you're really dragging and you don't have time to go for a walk and you don't have time to take a nap, if you just jump up and down a few times, you know, do a few jumping jacks next to your desk or run down the stairs, jump over a puddle, there's something about getting both feet off the ground. It's kind of childlike and playful and energetic, and it makes you feel like you've gotten a quick shot in the arm.
You have some really great tips like that for boosting energy in your books. Let's go through some of those. Exercise, sleep.
Well, one thing about sleep is, you know, I've talked to people so often who say, well, I've trained myself to get by on 5 hours. But when researchers study people, they find that such folks are quite impaired. And it's one of the characteristics of sleep deprivation is that people don't realize how badly affected they are. Most adults need 7 hours of sleep. So a few things that can help are really setting a bedtime. A lot of adults are like, oh, I go to bed whenever I'm tired, but then they get themselves into a second wind and they don't feel tired until like 1 or 2 a.m. But, you know, really figure out when you need to go to sleep. You know, if it's 10:30, then that's your bedtime. So really set that time. And some people even set an alarm. So just like you have an alarm to tell you to wake up, you have an alarm that goes off that's your cue that it's time to go to sleep. And one thing that really helped me is, weirdly, I realized sometimes I was too tired to go to bed. Like, the idea of taking out my contacts and brushing my teeth sounded so exhausting that it stayed up. So sometimes getting ready for bed well before you plan to go to bed then makes you more likely to go to bed a little bit earlier because you're already ready for bed. It's a very kind of cozy feeling. I find that it even helps my children go to bed earlier because it's sort of like everybody's getting ready to go to bed.
Okay, so that's sleep. Let's hear some of your other energy tips.
Well, exercise is the other big one. And with exercise, you know, some people, it really is a difference between morning people and night people. This is a real true difference. And night people cannot train themselves to be morning people. But if you can exercise first thing in the morning, that is really desirable because as the day goes on, you can think of more and more ingenious excuses about why you can't exercise. But what studies show is that to go from being completely sedentary to only slightly less sedentary is when you get a huge boost. So if you don't get any exercise now and you started going for a 20-minute walk several times a week, that would do wonders for you. So don't feel like you have to train for the marathon or go to a spin class. You know, even a fairly modest amount of exercise is going to help your mood. It's going to help your immune function. It's going to give you better focus, especially if you're outside. So another thing that brings energy is sunlight. If you're outside, even on a very overcast day, it's much, much brighter than it is even in a very brightly lit room. And that light wakes up your brain. It sets your clock, your sleep clock. And if you can just go outside and get that sunlight in your face, you really will get a quick hit. And so that's a very easy thing to do if you need to kind of wake yourself up. One of the easiest, quickest ways to change your mood is to listen to some of your favorite upbeat music. And everybody knows that, but it's really true. And if you feel yourself dragging, it's a very simple way to intervene in your mood. Because one of the things to keep in mind is that sometimes we're very passive and we just sort of let it wash over us. And what I found to be really helpful is the more I would say, like, how am I feeling? How can I change things? What are the little interventions that I can make? If I'm feeling a little blue, reach out to talk to someone. It turns out that almost everyone gets a boost from some kind of social engagement. So whether that's getting up and getting out of your cubicle and talking to a coworker face-to-face or sending an email to your sister who you haven't talked to in a while, or even like having a nice conversation with a clerk in a store. These things lift our spirits. We're social folk. And by sort of noticing what you're feeling, then you can take steps to improve the way you're feeling. You don't have to just be passively receiving it.
You've also written about emergency energy boosts. What are those?
Well, the jumping up and down is a huge one. The music. One of my favorite things, and this, in my most recent book, Happier at Home, I really discovered this great new trick, and it's one of my favorite resolutions, which is to embrace good smells. Now, we all spend a lot of time kind of in our heads, you know, like thinking, and we're very used to like our senses of sight and hearing, and we kind of overlook the sense of smell, but it's a super powerful sense. But if we don't pay attention to it, it just sort of fades into the background. We don't even notice it. And what I found is that by tuning into it, I got this huge source of pleasure and energy, you know, just walking through the kitchen and smelling the grapefruit, or really taking a moment to smell the wonderful smell of coffee when you walk into your favorite coffee shop, or like even something like the hardware store smell. Like, why do all hardware stores have a hardware store smell? You can just pause and enjoy it. And unlike so many pleasures, there's no cost. You don't have to count any calories or carbs. You don't have to pay for anything. But a smell takes nothing out of you. You can really be at the end of your rope, and still you can just enjoy that smell of clean towels or the smell of rain on pavement. And just by focusing your attention on it, it becomes a much more salient part of your experience. And this kind of thing is energizing because it's a little bit of pleasure. It's a little bit of mindfulness. And it gives you a lift.
I really like that. That's great. When you were writing the book, how did you feel at the end of that first January that you vowed to boost energy? You seemed to be bursting with energy, so obviously it worked.
It made a big difference. And this is the thing that has surprised me throughout the Happiness Project and Happier at Home and everything. Now I'm working on a book about habits, so I'm going even deeper into this kind of thing. And the thing that consistently amazes me is how small, totally manageable changes can really make a sizable difference in your day. You know, sometimes you think like, oh, I'm going to have to go on a 10-day silent meditation retreat to get myself together. And yet so often it's like, it's very small things that easily become habits that don't take a lot of time, energy, or money, which nobody has any extra time, energy, or money. Like, for instance, in Happier at Home, one of the things I did was my whole family resolved to give warm greetings and farewells every time we came and went from the apartment. So it's a very small thing. Everybody agreed to it readily. I didn't take a lot of nagging from me, which I actually was worried that I didn't want to nag about it. And it completely changed the atmosphere of my home because we were all just like grunting out, like, oh, and not looking up from the newspaper or the homework or the iPad or the book or whatever. And we weren't paying enough attention to each other. And now you really get a hug or a kiss, people get up and come to you and say hello or goodbye. And it just creates that kind of tender, attentive atmosphere that you want in your home. But it wasn't hard. And it didn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of energy. Didn't take a lot of nagging. Didn't take a lot of, you know, willpower. So there's this low-hanging fruit, which seems small, but then can have quite big results.
Gretchen, you've made me happy with this interview. Thanks for sharing these great tips with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Our guest was Gretchen Rubin. You can find her books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Visit her website at gretchenrubin.com. That's R-U-B-I-N. On LifeWorks.com, look for the helpful article, Taking Care of Yourself. Thank you for listening.